So this is really amazing. Thank you so much, Edna, for the opportunity to have Shir here again. This is really a throwback. First time having Shir here in this room in 22 years. Amazing, amazing. And thank you, Michelle. This is a year of Shiurim in people's homes. And I know it hasn't been easy for you, Yishtayach, to you, Michelle, for arranging it. And here we are, the second to last Shir of the year. But we'll have Shir next week. I hope so. You never know. But tonight's Shir is going to hopefully get us ready for Yom Noron. We know Nitzavim Vayelech is a parsha like all the parshas of El, from Shoftim, Kiseitze, Kisavo, all connected to themes of tshuva. But Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech are explicitly connected to tshuva. Many say that Perek Lamed, talking about the mitzvah hazos, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells us what's going to happen at the end of days. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, that you're going to turn away, but Hashem is going to bring you back. But before we talk about tshuva, I actually want to talk about Daf Torah. Because it's an important yesod in Daf Torah. This was actually the theme of my girl shir, the Shabbos grades 1-4, so no one here was in that shir, right? And the girl shir grades 1-4. But I realized that we haven't discussed it with the older women in a little bit, and it's really found in the Haftorah. It's from last week's Parsha, but it's a theme in this Haftorah as well. The Haftorah is, of course, the last of Shiva de Nechemta. There are 7 Haftorahs that stretch from Shabbos Nachamu, the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, all the way until Rosh Hashanah. 7 weeks of preparation for the new year, right? Just like there are 7 weeks of preparation between Pesach and Shavuos, from after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah, Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tiyena. We have 7 weeks of preparation. And this is the last one, the last Haftorah. They're all from Yeshayahu, and it goes over 3 prakim. But one of the last, and what's the Haftorah of Shiva, the last Haftorah of consolation, beautiful prophecies of what's going to happen at the end of days. A little bit of recalling all of Jewish history. But the end of the Haftorah is from Perek Samach Gimel. And in fact, the Haftorah ends 3 psukim in to a beautiful tefillah that Yeshayahu says. A beautiful, beautiful tefillah. If it would go on, it would go on to the end of the next Perek, into Perek Samach Dalet. But we have the beginning of a tefillah that Yeshayahu has. And what's the beginning of the tefillah? Pasuk Zayin. Chasei Adonai Azkir Tehilos Adonai Kaal Kol Asher Gimalanu Adonai V'Rav Tov L'Veis Yisrael Asher Gimalam Kirachama V'Chorov Chasadov. Again, we tack it on to the end of this long Haftorah talking about the end of days, talking about Jewish history. But what Yeshayahu starts his tefillah with is that I'm going to mention the kindness of Hashem, that they are the praises of Hashem for everything that Hashem has given us, the amazing good for the Jewish people that he bestowed upon us with his mercy and with his great love, with his great kindness. That's how he starts his tefillah. And he starts talking about some of the chesed of Hashem in the past, and then he goes on to Hashem bring us back, because he's talking here to the Jews, even though Yeshayahu lived before Chorban Bayis, this Haftorah was spoken for the exilees in Babylonia, in Babel. That's who he was speaking for. And some Mepharshim point out it's interesting, because how does he begin his tefillah? To ask Hashem to bring us back? By first recognizing what? All of the chesed that Hashem did for us. That you start with Hakaras HaTov. And many Mepharshim say, Rav Levenstein, who I've been using this year in his Masok Va'or, he points out that if you would listen to a person davening on Yom Noron, right, you're putting a little listening device, and you hear most people feel some Yom Noron, you would think that they're talking to some really cruel despot who has like no mercy and is very harsh. Because they're crying and begging, please give us life, give us brachos, give us parnasa, give us, oh, please, please. You're begging and begging and begging. A person hears, you davening Yom Noron. They're like, who are they talking to? They're talking to someone who's very harsh, someone who's very mean, that doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to give to anyone else. And he suggests, you know how you have to start davening? You have to start your bakashos. You start the requests by saying what? How does Yeshayahu start a tefillah asking Hashem to bring the Jewish people back? By first saying thank you to Hashem. And it goes on from Psukim. Listing the chaste Hashem over and over and over. And Rev Levenstein suggests that this really has to be one of the ways that we approach tefillah on Yom Noraim. Of course we have all the things that we want to ask for. Of course we have in our mind all the things that we need, how we want Tavshin Pei Dalet to be a different year, a better year. But before we jump to what we want, what about taking a step back and saying, I appreciate what I have in a very real way? And Rev Levenstein brings two stories. People, he told them to him directly. One was a couple living in Ranana. They, 13 children, married off 13 kids. They had a very large house in Ranana. And the problem is after marrying off 13 kids, they had a lot of chovos. They had a lot of debt. And the husband and the wife realized, we gotta unload this house. We gotta sell this house. It's a big house in Ranana, right? Very expensive. We'll be able to pay off our chovos. Then we'll just have to find the place. We don't want to move it. We're going to have to find the smaller downsize, but downsize because they have to. They need the money. And so the husband and wife are both davening, Hashem, please, we need to sell this house. We have chovos. And none of the real estate agents can understand it. It's a big, beautiful house in Ranana. No one wants to buy it. And they say, maybe price it. They're thinking it's priced in the right. No one understands. And the davening weeks turn into months, almost a year. And the husband is at a shir, and he hears this idea, and he comes home and tells his wife, you know, I think we're going about it the wrong way. How many times, he says to his wife, in the past year, have I thanked Hashem for the shiduchim that we had this chus to marry off our 13 kids? How many times in the past year have I thanked Hashem for the blessing of having such a big, beautiful home that served our family, growing family, so well for decades? He said, you know, I don't think I said it once. He says, I don't think I said it once. He said, so you know what I'm going to do? He told his wife, I'm going to start every day first before I'm just going to thank Hashem. I'm just going to start thanking Hashem for this beautiful house that we had for all these years. Thank you, Hashem, for what we were able to do. Thank you, Hashem, for all the brachos. Then I'm going to say, by the way, Hashem, you know, I got a lot of debt from 13 weddings. Can you help out? And the wife says, okay. And so the next day the husband goes to davening, and that's what he does. And he davens and says his tillum after davening. And the tillum is all about thank you. And after the thank yous, he says, and by the way, Abishter, I really need to unload the house. And he comes home. And he tells his wife was just finishing her davening. She said, did you say thank you to Hashem? What did you daven for? She said, I didn't have a chance to ask him to sell the house. I've just been saying thank you, and now you just walked in. And he says, okay, so you'll say thank you later that day. They have a little breakfast. There's a knock on the door. Mamash, literally, this is what Rav Levenstein says, a knock on the door. Guy says, I see a sign, you're looking to sell the house? I said, yeah. He says, listen, it's too big for me, but I want to buy half of your house. And I'll pay for the shiputzim. I'll pay to split it into two. It's a big, beautiful house. I have a small family, but I also need part room for an office. And he said, would you be willing? This way you don't have to move. You could stay in your community. But how much of the house would you need? And he said, not so much. And within a week, the deal went through and shiputzim were started. The renovations were starting to split the house in two. Rav Levenstein said he knows the story. It happened, the guy told him the story. And the second story he says is even crazier. He says the three Hasidish brother-in-laws. One is a brother, and two are brothers-in-law, married to sisters of this guy. And they live in America, Hasidish family. None of them have kids. They've all been married over 10 years. None of them have kids. One 12 years, one 10 years, one 13 and a half years, and they're going all over the world. They're going to every kever, Pshayla and Keristir, they go to Uman, Rabbi Nachman, They go to the ballet. They're going all over. They're going to Rashbi. They're going everywhere. Going to every Rebbe they can to get a bracha that they should have children. And one time they're in Eretz Yisrael on one of the men's trips going around. They get into a crazy car crash. Crazy car crash. They all walk away with just a couple of bruises. Nothing else. And they're sitting there in the hospital, the three of them. And one says to the other, two, says, what are we doing this for? We're running around like Mishugan. Says, what, like, what do we want kids for? Is it like a game now? Like, this is crazy. We're running around like Mishugan, like crazy men. He says, I think something's off in our whole approach. And the other guy's like, listen, you're in shock now. He goes, no, what are we doing? And then they go back to America, and that one won't give it up. And he says, you know what? He tells his two brothers-in-law, I want a Kabbalah, the three of us together. And our wives, he said, I was thinking about this, and I spoke to someone every day after Aleinu, after we finished davening with Aleinu, Nesach Sfard, the last thing you say is Aleinu. Nesach Ashkenaz, we say. The Yom, we say, David, Sardim, the last thing is Aleinu. That's the end of davening. When Aleinu's over, we take a minute and just say thank you to Hashem in our own words for our wonderful wives and something else. Every day, one other thing. To say thank you for our wives. And one day, every day, add on something else. Something else you're saying thank you for. He told Rav Levenstein. Rav Levenstein heard from one of these brothers, the one who was the brother of the two sisters. He said, they made a Kabbalah on Aleph Nissan. They're all going to start. On Aleph Nissan, after Aleinu of Shacharis, after Aleinu of Mincha, after Aleinu of Maariv, they're going to say thank you to Hashem for their wives and for one other thing. But really, to take, like, to really stay, like you're still in tefillah. And he called Rav Levenstein and said, on Beis Teves, he had a baby boy. On Hey Teves, another brother-in-law had a baby girl. And on Yud Teves, another brother-in-law had a baby boy. By the way, you figure out Nisan is the first month. Teves, right, is the 10th month, right? So very soon, after they all were makabel upon themselves, that we're going to stop running around like Mishugam, and we're just going to say thank you. And we're going to say thank you. And of course, in their tefillahs, they were also asking for the blessing of a child, but they were just going to say thank you. And Rav Levenstein writes in his Sefer, you know, Yeshayahu HaNavi, this is one of the final chapters of Yeshayahu. This is a long tefillah that he's asking Hashem, please bring your children back. That's what read Samach Dalet. It's not part of the Haftorah, but you can read the end of Samach Gimel, go into Samach Dalet. And again, how does he start the tefillah? He starts the tefillah, Chaste Adonai Azkir Tilos Adonai, Ka'al Kol Asher Gimalanu Adonai, V'Rav Tov Leves Yisrael Asher Gamlem Birachamav U'Cherov Chasadav. That before he even starts the ask, what does he do? He says, Hashem, I just want to sing of your kindness. I just want to say thank you. And where did Yeshayahu HaNavi get it from? You know who he got it from? He got it from Bechir Sheva Avos, the greatest of the Avos. The Zohar tells us, who was Bechir Sheva Avos? Which one of the Avos has his face on God's throne? Yaakov Avinu, Bechir Sheva Avos. Yaakov Avinu, Perek Lamed Beis. Famous Pasuk, we all know this Pasuk. Lamed Beis Yud Aleph. Katonti Mikola Chasadim Umikola Emes, Asher Asisa Es Avdecha, I am made small, I am humbled by all of the kindness and from all of the truth that you've done with your servant. Kivim Makli Avarti Esayarti Nazeb, because with my staff I passed over the Jordan. Vata Yisi L'Shnei Machnos, and now I'm two whole camps. What's the next pasuk? Hatzileni Na Miyad Achi Miyad Esav. Hashem, please save me from my brother, save me from Esav. But how does Yaakov Avinu's tefillah start? Yaakov's very afraid. He's very afraid to face his brother, right? He needs to daven. But what does he first say? He first says, thank you. He first says, Hashem, I'm humbled by everything that you've done for me. And he says, originally, I passed this Jordan with this staff. That's all I had. I had my walking stick. That was it, right? Everything was stolen from him. And now look where I am. I have two massive camps. It's unbelievable. Thank you, Hashem. And now, by the way, Hatzileni nam yad achim yad Esav. Please save me. For my brother, save me from Esav. And Rav Levenstein suggests that this is something, as we go into Yom Noron, right, we start with Slichos, this Motzei Shabbos, every day, extra tefillos, as Rav Soloveitchik says, a ribui tefillah. Slichos is we're increasing prayer. We're increasing prayer. And a lot of that prayer is begging Hashem, kedale muchiroshim, like poor, impoverished people, please Hashem. But just as beginning Motzei Shabbos, we increase the bakashos, what should we also increase?
Gratitude.
We should also increase the gratitude. We should really increase the thank yous. Look back at your calendar over the year. Look back at your calendar from last Rosh Hashanah till now. And think about the experiences that you had. Think about the blessings that you've had over the course of this year. And try and list them. Try and maybe, you know, like a little index card that you put in your machzor.
What about the kufins, the tehillim, the thank you?
Yeah.
Every day.
Mizmor Lasoda, absolutely. Yes. Of course. That's what we say when a person is saved. When you brought the Karban Toda, we said Mizmor Lasoda. Mm-hmm. And as we shared once, the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to sing it every day. It's the only part of davening that the Shulchan Aruch says you should sing. Mm-hmm. Don't say, sing. Because it makes you really give thank you, right? It's when you sing it, it's really different. I remember at a Rebbe in third grade that taught us a song. It was the only part of davening that we were taught. Mizmor Lasoda, like that's, and we were saying it all, chanting everything. And then we came to Mizmor, my brother's yeshiva. They, when they get come to Mizmor Lasoda, they sing it. Mizmor Lasoda, Hariu Lashem Kol. I mean, they stop, meaning davening takes that much longer because it's like, normally it's like a 5 second thing. Mizmor Lasoda, Hariu Lashem. But it takes about like 40 seconds. And all the guys sing Mizmor Lasoda every on a regular weekday morning. They sing Mizmor Lasoda. But that's the idea, that our gratitude has to be real. So often the gratitude, we know the story I've told you many times about the Chassid at the Kotel, right? The gratitude is the lip service. The Dvarim Hayotzim and Alev, the things that come from our heart, are what we need, not the thanks. Rav Levenstein suggests that we have to make the gratitude also come from our heart. And that can open up unique avenues to bracha. And he suggests that that's what we do. And again, Yaakov Avinu, Yeshayahu Hanavi, they're pretty good role models for how to express a prayer. But first, something comes before. Something comes before. So that's one ha'ara. Again, not really from the parsha. It's from the haftorah. It's obviously, you know, how that was my shir for the little girls, because obviously last week was Bikurim, right? Bikurim. There's a reason why we have Bikurim also leading up to Yamim Noram. Bikurim, the whole essence of Bikurim is giving thanks to Hashem. But then, when we come to the parsha, as we said, Nitzavim is one of the parshas that speaks about tshuva so clearly, so beautifully. And the pasuk tells us a very powerful, powerful line. Perek lamed pasuk dalet. Im yeh nidachcha b'kzeh ha-shamayim, if you will be pushed far off to the edges of heaven, misham yikabetcha Adonai Elohecha u'misham yikachecha. From there, Hashem will gather you, and from there, He will take you. So first, the Zera Shimshon, beautiful sefer, the Zera Shimshon, that's become popular in the past few years. The Zera Shimshon points out, what's the double lashon that it says, Misham mikabetzcho, Misham mikachecho, why? From there, He will gather you, and from there, He will take you. What does that mean? Just say, Misham mikachecho, or Misham mikabetzcho. So he points out that the gula is a two-step process. First has to be Misham mikabetzcha. From there, what does kibbutz mean? To gather, to bring together. So the gula is only going to happen first by Misham mikabetzcha. From there, He's going to gather you together. And once you're gathered together, u'misham yikachecha. And then He will take you from there. And unfortunately, all too often, What gathers us are the tzaras. Right? Just like it's the tzaras that we cry out to Hashem in tefillah, not the thanks. Unfortunately, so often what binds the Jewish people are our tzaras. And that's something that we spoke about in the Pirkei Avos here, something that we have to move past. We have to move past, the Zeresh Rambam says. But the idea here I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Cohen, who should have Refuah Shleima. I just went to visit him. He's in Kessler Sunday morning. Rebbe of mine from high school, a Rebbe Mor Shakolel, a Rebbe in Yeshiva University now, Rav Yitzchak Cohen. So he told me that this pasuk is a promise Hashem's making, that Hashem's going to bring the Jewish people back. It's a haftacha. It's a haftacha. And what we have to know is, we have to recognize that Hashem is there with us every step of the way. We're so often intimidated by tshuva. So often we feel overwhelmed by tshuva. We're like, we can't do this. This is beyond us. But Rabbi Cohen told me, just yesterday morning in Kessler, in his room, he said that it's a haftacha, that Hashem is going to bring us back. Even the Jews that are pushed so far away. And alachas kama v'kama, if it's the Jews who are pushed so far away, those of us that are closer, that if we really have that desire to be close to Hashem, of course Hashem is going to make it happen. Of course Hashem is going to bring us close. And there's like unbelievable stories of the ways that Hashem brings us close, right? Again, Rav Levinstein has unbelievable stories. I might repeat these stories sometime over Yom Ha'ara. I'm not sure when, but they're just amazing stories I figure I'll share with you now. Just what does it mean, Misham Kabetzcha, Misham Kachacha, that Hashem will pick you up from everywhere you are? And the first is from the Panovich Rav, Rav Yosef Kahaneman, Zatzal. We've spoken about him many times, right? The Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim, Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker, who was the Rav in the town of Panovich, survived the war with only one son, came to Bnei Brak to build a big, beautiful yeshiva, an old age home, an orphanage, a yeshiva system, a Beis Yaakov system. And for that, he had to go fundraising all over the world. One of the places he fundraised was in L.A., he was going out to L.A. fundraising years ago. A friend of mine who lives in L.A. said, Chaim, you know why Hashem made so many rich Jews in L.A.? I said, why, Abi? He goes, because that's the only way the big rabbis visit us. If it wasn't for all the money in L.A., no one would come out to visit us in L.A. I'm like, okay, if you say so. I mean, he after a while, he moved back to L.A. He still lives in L.A. Abi, a good friend of mine, old friend. So the Panovich Rav would go to L.A., and every year, there was one generous donor that he would go have dinner with him. And whenever he went to L.A., he had dinner in the same guy's house. Every night he was there, unless someone was a parlor meeting. And so when this person passed away, he called Almana and said, you know what, I'd like to still have dinner in your house, if that's okay. And she said, Rosh Hashiv, of course, it's the greatest achus, thank you so much. And of course, he had someone with him, and they went, and she had a whole spread, and she had her cook, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And one of the nights, she begged her children and grandchildren to come over, and they weren't as observant. They were not as connected. And when the grandchildren came in, the Panovich Rav saw, like, very little connection to Judaism, and he started talking to them, and he said, you know, your grandfather had these songs he liked to sing. Let's sing your grandfather's songs now. And they're like, we don't remember them. No, your grandfather's songs. We have to sing them. I'll help you. I think I know some of them. Please, let's sing them. From Pesach and rap. And the Panovich Rav wouldn't let go. He mom spent a half hour cajoling these kids and teenagers to sing their grandfather's songs. And then he was singing with them, and they got into it and singing and so loud. Beautiful. When they left, his shamish, the person that would drive him around, said, Rosh Hashiva, what was that all about? A half hour of your time just to convince them, and then singing? Was it nachas for the grandmother? He said, no. That wasn't why I did it. You know why I did it? I did it because they look already like they're moving far away. At least in their memory, what should they have? They should have their grandfather's song in their head. They should at least have that grandfather song. You never know. You never know what can bring a Jew back. And I wanted to sing their grandfather songs with them, because the koach of zemer, the koach of a shir, the koach of a song, you never know how it can grab a heart and bring them back. And so he said, you know what? Hashem can bring back all the Jews. I'm just planting the seeds to try and help bring them back. Rav Simcha Wasserman told a crazy story. He was the son of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. His father was killed by the Nazis. He managed to escape. He actually was also out in L.A. I know L.A. stories. Whatever, two L.A. stories. But Rav Simcha Wasserman, he had a yeshiva there. He had a shul there. And he had a story that there was a family that joined his shul that became Balei Tshuva. And for the son's bar mitzvah, they were making it in a very beautiful hotel. And they sent an invitation, please, everyone, we're putting you up for Shabbos. We don't want anyone to drive on Shabbos. Please come. And we want your guest for the whole Shabbos. Okay. Rav Simcha Wasserman called them Erev Shabbos and, you know, I'm so sorry. I can't come. Something came up the Shabbos. But he said to the mother, he said, tell me, do you have children for Shabbos? And she's like, no, Rabbi. He's like, it's a minhag. You should really have children. It's like, I don't know if my guests are going to appreciate shulin. We have a minion of people from the shul. They'd be okay without it, you know. And I was concerned with anything hot for Shabbos day. I was nervous about it. It's like, tell the caterer to bring crock pots. You should have shulin. It's a minig Yisrael. Okay, Rabbi Wasserman said, she's going to have shulin. So she calls the caterer. Okay, it's going to be extra. No problem. Okay. So they bring in crock pots, you know. The whole lot, they were plugging them in last minute before Shabbos everywhere they could. They took the hotel, so like the hotel smells of cholent everywhere. The next morning, one of their neighbors, an older non-religious couple, pulls up to the hotel in their car. They pull up to the hotel in their car, and they park. Everyone sees, they walk into the hotel, and okay, they drove, but the host and hostess saw them. They were going to go up to them, but all of a sudden they walk in and the woman stops. She looks at her husband, says, take me home right now. I have to leave right away. It's like, what? Goes, I have to leave right away. They turn around and walk out. And the hostess is so, like, what happened? Did someone say something to them? Were they insulted somehow? Like, what? The host, what? She calls them that night. She's like, please, I'm so sorry. I hope no one offended you. She said, I want you to know what happened. She said, I was taken from my house at age 6. And I went through camps. And since I came to America, I've been working with psychologists and psychiatrists. My past before I was taken from my house is a black hole. I don't remember what my name was. She said, I remembered nothing. I blacked everything out. She said, I walked in and I smelled the cholent, and all of a sudden, I remembered I was taken on a Shabbos. I remember my name is Fagala. I remember my sister was Chanela. My cousin Esterka was there that Shabbos. She didn't let me play with her doll. I remember my father had a little red beard, and I remember the tichel, the black tichel that my mother would cover her hair with every Shabbos, a special Shabbos tichel. And she said, I just smelled that, and it all came flooding back to me. I had to step out. And she just said, thank you. My past was, she said, I was working with psychologists and psychiatrists for decades, no one could get through. But now, oh, that smell just opened up my soul. I mean, can you imagine shulent, huh? How about that? It always gets such a bad rap. But you know, the smell of shulent, it's a powerful tool. Just the smell of shulent. And she said it led to a whole process of her discovering her roots. She remembered her block she lived on. She remembered they lived by the Vistula River. She said it was crazy. It all came flooding back. And it brought her back. The smell of shulent, can you imagine? The smell of cholent. Hashem promises the Jewish people. Hashem promises the Jewish people. No matter where you go, I'm going to be there to bring you back. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu tells us this, and the crazy stories of how people come back, as my Rebbe said, it's a haftacha, the Jewish people as a whole are going to come back. But you know what? for us that are getting ready for the Yimei Hadin, we have to remember one important pasuk. V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis. Right? Right? We say this pasuk all the time. V'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis. V'hirbat l'shiv ha'po v'lo yo'ir kol chamaso. These are the three important things we have to know about Shuva. First, v'hu rachum yichaper avon v'lo yashchis. That Hashem atones sin and he doesn't destroy. Right? V'hirbat l'shiv ha'po. He turns away his anger, meaning Hashem waits so long. Hashem is Erech HaPayim. He waits to give us that chance to come back. Hashem is so patient, so patient. V'lo ya'ir kol chamasa. And even when Hashem does give us little wake-up calls, we might call them punishments, v'lo ya'ir kol chamasa. He doesn't pour out all his wrath. Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem sends us those little dings, those little wake-up calls, that Hashem is trying to bring us back. Hashem is trying to collect us. So when we come to Parshav Nitzan Vayelech, V'shavta Hashem Elokecha, V'shamatok B'kolo, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, I know you're going to go away. I know you're going to stray. But just know that Hashem is waiting, and Hashem will forgive, and Hashem will try and bring you back. And so here we are, a week and a half before the Yom Noran, right? Yud Tes Elul tonight, Yud Tes Elul. 10 days, 29 days in Elul these days. Back in the day, it could have been 30, but nowadays, 29 days in Elul, 10 days, a week and a half till Aleph Tishrei. You have to try and make our list. Go over your calendar from last Rosh Hashanah. Look at any trips, look at any good days you had, look at any good experiences you had. Make a list of the good things that you've had this year. And that should be the beginning of your bakashos. The hodah, the thanks, should be the beginning of how we say what we want from Hashem. But then also remember that Hashem is there waiting. And Hashem is trying to pull us back. Can you imagine? It's a beautiful idea. Can you imagine? We talk about El being Yimei Ratzon V'Racham, and Yimei Racham V'Ratzon. We know Racham, the mercy. What does it mean, the Ratzon? Can you imagine if someone told you that, you know, Rachel Imenu can't wait to meet you? Rachel Imenu loves you so much and wants to talk to you. Right, okay, maybe that's a little freaky. Think about someone that you really are excited by, right? Like, I was just at a wedding where there was a big Rosh Hashiva sitting there, like, it's so exciting to see them, a chance to talk to them. And I was thinking, imagine someone told me that, you know, Reb David Shustel wants to hang out with you. Wow! Just want to spend all day schmoozing with you, talking. Maybe learning a little bit. Amazing, right? You know what Yimei Rachem V'Ratzon means? That this month, Hashem just wants to be close to you. Hashem just wants to talk to you. Hashem just wants that relationship with you. Imagine, who's that person you'd be excited? This person wants to talk to me. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that person is that's so exciting for you. Who that exciting person is. But if there's a bus or a dumb that you're so excited about, oh my gosh, imagine if this person really, you know, I'm sure some it's movie star, some it's this one, this is whoever that might be. But imagine if I told you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and Hashem wants to be close to you. Hashem just wants to hear with you, just wants to spend time with you. Hashem values you, you have no idea. That's what Yimei Rachamim V'Ratzon are. That's the Ratzon of this time. How much Hashem wants to be close. And we should be able to feel that. We should be able to feel all the good that Hashem has done and how much more Hashem wants to continue to do and how much Hashem is yearning to be close and to restore that relationship with us. Shkoach. Shkoach.